welcome to Activist Connect, a podcast seeking to engage, educate, and entertain to connect amnesty activists across the country. I'm Tiana, and I would like to begin by acknowledging the Yuggera and Turrbal people as the traditional owners of the land on which I'm meeting on here in Brisbane, and I would like to extend my respects to elders past, present, and emerging from wherever you're listening from, and acknowledge that this land always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Activist Connect, guys. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about different ways to welcome refugees. Now, everyone should be allowed to enter another country to seek asylum. It's a human right. The process should be fair and effective, but in reality, many governments leave asylum seekers without a final answer for years. Others are sent back to countries where their lives could be in real danger. And while most governments turn their backs, people worldwide are finding clever and creative ways to bring refugees here. But bringing them here is only half of it. Once refugees come here, we still need to welcome them into our communities, uphold the human rights of refugees, and demonstrate compassion for refugees and how they enhance the cultural and religious diversity of our communities. Anyone who has lived abroad probably knows how difficult it can be to learn a new language, to make new friends, to understand a new culture, to find somewhere to live or find a new job. That's why integration is paramount for refugees. And in many parts of the world, a whole range of community initiatives have sprung up to welcome newcomers. Before we really delve into the ways that we can all help refugees be welcomed into our communities, I want to share my interview with Robbie, a young Rohingya refugee who shared some of his story of coming to Australia and integrating into Australian society. So, Robbie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to Australia?
So, my name is Robbie Alam. I came to Australia with my family at the age of 10, about 9 years ago. And I was born in one of the most repressing refugee camps in the world, in the refugee camp of Bangladesh. I spent the first 10 years of my life there. My childhood in the refugee camp was nowhere near the normal childhood we have here in Australia. Or anywhere else in the world. I was never given the chance to attend school. Something that I've always dreamt of was attending school, like the local Bangladeshi kids. But I was told I can't because I'm not a citizen of that country. My journey to Australia was a dream come true because I was part of the 100 people that Australia brought through the humanitarian intake in the period of 2009 and 10. My family was indeed very lucky to be chosen out of almost a million people in the refugee camp. And Australia has dramatically changed our life since then. My parents obviously miss their families, but as a 10-year-old, I was just excited to be in a new country. I mean, this new country have given us the rights to shelter, feeling a sense of security, education, healthcare, freedom, and so much more. And it is because of this country that my siblings are now studying at uni and working at the same time.
The Rohingya people are one of the most persecuted groups in the world. What are some things that you wish other Australians knew about your people and the atrocities that they're facing?
It's very sad that a lot of Australians are completely unaware that Rohingyas go through the large scale of persecution in this modern era. I wish they know that we're a group of people who were nearly eliminated from the face of the earth in our own country and going through a slow burning of genocide implemented by Myanmar's brutal military and its government. These militaries have wiped out over a million of Rohingya over the last few decades, killing thousands in the process. Just since 2017, almost 10,000 Rohingyas have been killed, and these are not just normal killings. Houses with families inside have been burnt alive, including babies, women being raped to death, men being slaughtered in front of their families. Our people have been denied to practicing basic human rights since the 1970s, just because we are a little different to the majority. I also wish they know that this very military are supported by the Australian government through training and financial assistance, and the Australian government are not doing anything about it to stop these atrocities.
So Amnesty International campaigns for the Australian government to cease its support and assistance for the Myanmar military and to push for accountability and justice for crimes against humanity that are committed against the Rohingya people. What are some other things that you believe the Australian government should be doing to help Rohingya people?
I think the Australian government should apply targeted economic sanction on Burmese high-profile officials who are involved in committing heinous crimes against the Rohingya in the latest operation. They should sanction the military leaders as well. They can also consider resettling some of the most vulnerable Rohingyas, such as widows, orphans and women and girls that are at risk. And Australia would live up to the moral obligation and to show leadership in the region of this undying tragedy.
What was it like coming to Australia, and what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced integrating into Australian society?
The culture was obviously a vast different. But I think I've integrated really well with the Australian culture, probably because I was really young. I was only 10. But as for my parents, it was not easy. And I think understanding a lot of Aussie slangs were hard for me even until now.
What do you think individuals in the wider community could do to support people who are seeking protection in Australia?
I think people, since majority of the Australians are unaware of the circumstances that refugees go through, I think people could organize probably information sessions, peaceful assemblies, or fundraising dinners to help refugees.
Do you have any tips or advice for amnesty activists who are campaigning for refugee rights? How do you think we can be more welcoming of refugees?
As a Rohingya, I'm so grateful and thankful that organizations like Amnesty International are campaigning for the rights of our people. I would just like to say to keep doing what you guys are doing, and perhaps organize more workshops, especially at school, to tell students about atrocities like this.
And what are some positive outcomes that you've noticed from sharing your story with others?
So every time I've shared my story with Australians, most of them have never heard of the Rohingya people. And after I've shared my story, there's always people coming up to me and saying, what can I do to help? They just feel sad that a country like Australia is doing nothing about it. I think those that are not so supportive of refugees fail to understand the experience that refugees actually go through. I mean, imagine being in a country where your ancestors have been living in that country for decades, and then suddenly you're told that you're no longer a citizen of that country, and just because you don't practice a religion that the majority practices in that country. Now, where do you go? No country will accept you because you're stateless. And I think people should speak to the communities that came here as refugees, instead of relying on the media to learn about refugees.
What are some other ways that people could get educated about refugees or the Rohingya community and start to shift negative opinions?
As I've said, people could talk to the communities that came here as refugees. People shouldn't rely on media to gain their knowledge on refugees. And I think more events where it tells the stories of refugees.
What is the Rohingya community like here in Queensland? Can you tell us a little bit about the Rohingya United soccer team and how sport has united some of the Rohingya community in Queensland?
So I think the Rohingya community here in Queensland are very successful. I mean, most of us came here about 10 or 9 years ago, and majority of us now own houses. I think that's a big achievement. And the children that came here, including me, when we were like 12, 11, 9, 10, and whatever, most of us are now studying at uni and working at the same time. And some of them are studying pharmacy, medicine, engineering, and etc. And about our soccer team, you see, we're very passionate about soccer. So passionate that we used to collect plastics and make soccer ball out of it to play because we couldn't afford a soccer ball back in Bangladesh. Now here, our youths are very busy with work and studies, and since we all love soccer, we thought, why not make our own soccer team, which helps us to stay united. And we formed this team with the purpose that we play the sport we love, which will help us to stay united and make an awareness of the Rohingya people. And a lot of the teams that we played so far were like, what does Rohingya mean and who are they? And playing this sport enabled us to share our story with them and develop our relationship with people from various backgrounds and faith.
Thank you so much, Robbie. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just want to say thank you for having me and allowing me to share my story on this platform. And I would like to I would like you guys to give us a like on our Facebook page known as Rohingya United. And this page brings a lot of happiness and proud moments for Rohingya living around the globe, especially in Bangladesh, when they see we're representing Rohingya in a first world country like Australia. They feel a sense of pride and hope, and we receive a lot of positive messages for the work we're doing through soccer.
It was so great to be able to chat to Robbie, to hear his story, and for him to shed some light on the Rohingya crisis, and also what activists and community members can be doing to be more welcoming and allow refugees to integrate into our communities. I especially loved hearing about how sport has united the Rohingya community here in Brisbane, and it's really allowed them to engage with the wider community. They've gone from kicking balls made out of plastic bags in Bangladesh to playing against other teams in Brisbane, and sport has helped a lot of young Rohingya refugees gain the confidence that they need to become leaders in their communities. Another great way to welcome refugees in the community is through community sponsorship. Some countries allow groups of people to organise and raise money to bring refugees into their country and help them settle. Nearly 300,000 people have come to Canada through sponsorship since the 1970s. Unfortunately, here in Australia, our refugee sponsorship program isn't as fair. But the good news is Amnesty Australia has a campaign, the My New Neighbour campaign, which is all about calling on the Australian government for a fairer community sponsorship program. In the first episode of Activist Connect, we spoke to Amnesty Australia's lead refugee campaigner, Shankar, all about his journey to Australia and the My New Neighbour campaign.
So my name is Shankar. I and my family came to Australia in 1987. We were fleeing persecution from a civil war brewing in that country, in Sri Lanka, in the early, mid-80s. My parents are both teachers, and we were very happy in Sri Lanka, and we had a home that we loved. But as with these things, you need to pick up and run for your life. And that's what we did. We were very fortunate because we were sponsored by a family here in Australia. And we didn't have anything with us when we arrived in Australia. We had everything given to us, food, furniture. It was pretty daunting for my parents, who had gone from being these extremely self-sufficient people, enjoying the work that they were doing, to then being very dependent on the kindness of their new neighbours. And so for us, I still have memories of random people walking in furniture and things into this pretty empty house that me, my three sisters and my parents were living in. So I think for me, that is probably some of my earliest memories, which informed my family's early first days in Australia, and also the goodness of people that became very close friends of ours. So when I now talk to you in my new role as the Amnesty Refugee Campaigner for Australia, very privileged to be in this position where I can help shape, with your support, the direction of this campaign, where we are trying to celebrate the goodness in Australia, the goodness of communities like in Queensland or in Tasmania and wherever else your listeners are tuning in from. And be able to focus on hitching that goodness to a solution that can bring people safely into our communities. And that's what this campaign is about. And we've launched it 4 months ago in regional New South Wales in a little town called Wagga Wagga. And it's partly because we recognise the contribution that regional and rural country towns play in making Australia a safe and welcoming place for people seeking our protection.
If you want to learn more about community sponsorship or Shankar's lived experience, definitely check out episode 1 of Activist Connect. Now, there are so many other ways that people are using their local networks, their skills, and their compassion to work together and welcome refugees into their communities. Whether you're an individual or a group of activists who are looking for ways to welcome refugees into your community, here are a bunch of ways that you can help to welcome refugees in the community. One way is by assisting new refugees to attend school or work and help them integrate into the community. Universities and schools can offer refugees visas to start or carry on their studies in another country. This opportunity can turn people's lives around through completing their schooling, integrating, and making a living and contributing to the society they're living in. According to the UN's refugee agency, UNHCR, only 1% of refugees currently attend university. A staggering 3.7 million refugee children and teenagers are not in school right now. That's 5 times the global average. Why not ask local universities in your area if they can offer scholarships for refugees in the community? Alternatively, offering work visas or employment can make a huge difference for so many refugees, because for many of them, getting a job is a vital solution to their problems. As well as surviving and supporting their families, it helps them maintain their self-respect and independence, and to integrate into a new community. Many countries offer refugees work permits, but sometimes they're not always offered a work permit. Businesses can potentially offer work visas to refugees with particular skills, as well as training and work experience. If you're a business owner or know a business owner, could you ask the company to look at hiring refugees? So many amazing organizations that are working with refugees depend on generous donations, things like food, gift cards, quality secondhand clothing, toys, or furniture. Could you encourage friends, family, or neighbours to contribute, especially before or after birthdays or other celebrations? Why not provide refugees with a chance to share their stories and experience with the community? Suggest that your school or community group learns more by inviting a refugee or migrant to hear firsthand about their migration experiences and to help break down any barriers or misunderstandings. As an individual, business, or community group, you could also host a community dinner to welcome refugees and give them a chance to share a piece of their culture. Here in Australia, the Welcome Dinner Project is a platform to spark connection between people who are new to Australia with an established community, where members share a meal in someone's home or a trusted community space. Everyone brings a plate of food to share, and their highly skilled volunteer facilitators encourage guests to share the stories of their food and other areas that they may have in common throughout the dinner. These events are a powerful way to build trust, belonging, and connection between people and break through any cultural, social, or other barriers as they share food and stories. One final way that you can welcome refugees into your community is offering them a safe place to stay. If you have a spare room or know a landlord with a place to let, look online for organizations that may match emergency, temporary, or permanent homes with asylum seekers and refugees. If you have a spare furnished bedroom, a granny flat, or even a whole house that you're willing to offer to an asylum seeker, either long-term or short-term, that could make a huge difference. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Activist Connect. There are so many ways that we can all work together to welcome refugees into our communities, depending on our networks, resources, and skills. I hope that you're feeling inspired by hearing Robbie's story, or you've got some great tips and tricks for your refugee activism. Don't forget to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Activist Connect, and I look forward to connecting with you guys in our next episode.